I sense his presence in this place. That's one of the reasons we come together, is because he promised if we'd gather in his name, he would be in our midst. Hallelujah. I want you to know Jesus is in our midst today by his promise, by his word. I want you to lift a hand, just thank him. Say, Lord, thank you that you're in our midst. Thank you that you're here all over the building. Just thank him personally. Lord, I'm so thankful that you're here. I'm thankful for your presence. You are Lord. Fill your body with your fullness. Fill your temple with your spirit. Hallelujah. 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 If you'd turn with me today to Revelation chapter 9, we'll read three verses to begin, and then we will read other of the verses as we progress with the message. Amen. Now, just for those that are new, I've made a deal with you. If I ever would get a little long on Sunday morning, if you'll come Sunday night, I'll make it up with you. I'll take that equal amount of longness off the message that night. Is that a good deal? Thank you, Sister Rose. Would you stand for the reading of God's word, Revelation chapter 9. We'll read verse 2, and then we'll go down to verses 20 and 21. And he opened the bottomless pit, and there arose a smoke out of the pit as the smoke of a great furnace, and the sun and the air were darkened by reason of the smoke of the pit. And the rest of the men which were not killed by these plagues yet repented not of the works of their hands, that they should not worship devils and idols of gold and silver and brass and stone and of wood, which neither can see nor hear nor walk. They didn't repent. Neither repented they of their murders, nor of their sorceries, nor of their fornication, nor of their thefts. Amen. I want to preach this morning on the bottomless pit unlocked. In verse 2 it said he opened the bottomless pit. The bottomless pit unlocked. Now, some have said, you know, some of these passages of Revelation are frightening and dark and unpleasant. And I'll tell you why they are, is because things are going to get dark and unpleasant and frightening. But one thing about it, as we cover this, we could rejoice with gratitude that this need not be our future. Isn't that the wonderful thing as a believer? You say, boy, that thing's getting bad, and they will. But we can lift up our hands and our redemption draweth nigh and say, well, this need not be my future. That's a wonderful thing about grace and mercy and truth. Would you pray with me this morning that the Lord would just move in our hearts? Come on, pray with me. Stretch forth a hand this way. Father, I ask for your anointing. I ask for your touch. Make your word a living thing, God, today. Talk to our hearts as a church. Talk to our hearts, Lord, and move by your spirit. And if there's those here that are cold in the things of God, Lord, relight the flame within their heart. Help them to stir up the gift that's in them. Lord, if there are those that are drawing back, God, let them see there's no time for that. God, I pray for those that are here that have come and they're searching. I pray they'll find you, Lord, as the meaning and the purpose and the security of their souls. Now, Lord, anoint me to preach in the name of Christ. And all God's people said, amen. You can be seated. I've heard different variations of this, and the latest was in the 90s, not long after that email got started. There was those e-rumors. And I don't know if you ever heard this, but it went something like this. Russian scientists in Siberia were digging very deep holes to listen to the movement of the plates of the earth. And they had dug down 14 kilometers. That's a long ways. And when they got down, they could tell they were getting into some really hot areas, 2,000 degrees, the thermometer read, as they drilled down. And since it was their purpose, they lowered a microphone to listen to the movement of the plates of the earth. But when they lowered that microphone 14 kilometers into the 2,000 degrees, They were horrified because through the microphone they could hear the screaming of millions of people crying out in torment. And it so disconcerted them, they decided to abandon the project. But before they could close off that hole, a bat-like figure escaped and went into the atmosphere. Now, listen, when I heard that, I immediately had a few doubts. How is a bit, as powerful as it is, a drill bit, going to withstand 2,000 degree heat? I had others. How did the microphone survive the same heat? Now, here's the problem with hoaxes like that. That is a hoax. That is a hoax. It's a fabricated hoax. But the problem with hoaxes like that is they're based on the real thing. And once people find out it's a hoax, they dismiss the real thing with the hoax. I want you to know what I read to you in what we're going to look at today in chapter 9, the bottomless pit. It is not a hoax. It is a reality. There is a shaft that reaches into the most awful places of fire and torment and hideous creatures. I'm thankful that up to this point, that shaft has been sealed off like a door, an iron door to an abandoned mine. Up to this point, that shaft has been sealed off. That shaft leads to a place of the confinement of the worst of fallen angels, the worst of demons, the worst of the wicked and the unclean and evil spirits. That shaft leads there, but to this point, it is sealed off. You see, John was shown by the Revelator. John was shown this place, this bottomless pit, this abyss. But not only was he shown it, he was shown what happens when it is finally opened and what is within is allowed to escape. And from this shaft, the real one, it's not just sounds that are heard that will arise from that pit, but it will be actual demonic beings, and they rise from the pit to wreak the worst havoc and destruction upon humans that they have ever known. Amen. I'm glad this does not have to be a part of our future. Amen. I'm going to briefly, just so it'll make sense to us, do a brief review. But John saw that scroll with the seven seals, and the first four of those were the horsemen, the white and the red and the black and the pale, and that fifth seal was the souls under the altar. The sixth seal was the cosmic disturbances when the stars fell out of the heaven. But when he opened the seventh seal to unroll that scroll, we find that the seventh seal contained seven trumpets. We talked about four of them last week, and the thing about those four trumpets, it was God's wrath unleashed upon man's environment. But we closed that chapter 8 last week with an angel as an eagle or vulture would soar in midair screaming. This angel is screaming, whoa, 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 doom, doom, doom. Why? As bad as the first four trumpets have been, the last three trumpets are even worse. Why? Because the first four trumpets is what comes out of heaven upon the environment of man. But the next two trumpets is what ascends from hell upon man himself. It's one thing when your environment's being destroyed, but it's another thing, amen, when it's man himself being destroyed. It's one thing if it's asteroids or whatever physical thing. It's another thing when it's demonic. No wonder the angel cried, whoa, whoa, whoa. And all man's concerned about's the next ball game, the latest video game that comes out, even what kind of sales they're going to have the day after Thanksgiving. The only thing the churches are concerned about is another social activity, another fun time another trip. I'm telling you, whoa, this world needs to hear things are going to get bad. But it's not just a message of evil and bad. It's a message, now is the day of salvation. Now the door of grace is open. Now you can be saved. Now you can have your eternity secured. Now you can know you're in Christ. You can be as secured as if you were already in heaven with the gate locked behind you. That's the message of hope that we have. I want to look at these very, very bad things. First of all, I want to look at the plummet to the pit. Verse 1, the fifth angel sounded that trumpet. And I saw a star fall from heaven unto the earth. And to him was given the key of a bottomless pit. This star is actually some kind of angelic being. Some think it's evil. Some think it's good. But he comes with a key to the bottomless pit. We call that today the abyss. This abyss, this bottomless pit, is a place where the very worst of demonic spirits and forces are held prisoner. Now, I want to make this clear, because right now we know that there are evil spirits in our world. We know there are demonic forces and evil beings that are allowed to roam and infiltrate and waft through this world and its society. We know they're already here. But as bad as those that are already here are, those that are confined and held prisoner in this pit are even far worse. These have not yet been unleashed upon our world. We see evil at work in the world today, and that's the problem with our government and ever liberal ideology. They fail to recognize that evil is a reality. There is evil at work in our world. Even that's why we need the blood of Jesus. That's why we need the moving of the Holy Ghost. That's why we need the preaching of truth. That's why we need the shining of light. There is evil at work in our world. But the worst of evil forces has not yet been released. But at the sounding of this fifth trumpet, this angel star, he plummets, he descends from heaven to earth with the key to loose these evil spirits upon man. Have you ever seen a hawk dive or an eagle dive? Great speeds, way over 100 miles an hour, sometimes 200 miles an hour as they dive. Andrew and I just a few weeks back saw a hawk dive like that and come up with a snake. But here we have this angel. He's diving with this key to unlock this bottomless pit. Verse 2, he opened it. He unlocked the bottomless pit, and there arose smoke out of the pit as the smoke of a great furnace, and the sun and the air were darkened by reason of the smoke of the pit. Amen. He unlocks that door, and when the door is open to the bottomless pit, smoke billows out. I want you to think of a huge smokestack of a factory and how the smoke billows out. I know one thing. This isn't just a vapor machine like they have sometimes even in churches. No, where there is smoke, there is fire. And this is the worst of fire. Fire burns in that pit. Such an awful place that this is. I want to remind you of something. Do you remember when Jesus was casting those demons out of the demoniac at the Gadarenes? Do you remember what they said? They beseeched Jesus and said, don't send us to our place before our time. Don't send us. I mean, it was such a, this bottomless pit, this abyss is so awful that demons would rather go into a pig than to go into this pit. It's an awful, awful place. You know, we have skeptics today that don't believe in eternity, and they say there is no hell but the hell you will experience on earth. How many of those are skeptics that say that? The only hell you'll ever experience is on earth. Well, they're half right, because there is going to be a moment when this bottomless pit is unlocked that God is going to allow hell and its occupants to break loose upon this earth. Listen, I'm not a calamity hour. I'm not trying to just make you fearful with little stories. I'm trying to preach the truth. And what I must tell this church, and I must tell the church of God, and I must tell the world, it's as bad as it is now. Wait till hell breaks loose on this church. And I have my own suspicions why it is now able to do that. And my suspicions is at this point, the church has already left here. The blood-bought is already gone. Those that have the Holy Spirit have been called home. Amen. And therefore, evil has full and free reign. Amen. It's going to be an awful time, but it does not have to be a part of your future. Hallelujah. Oh, that's the plummeting to the pit. Now I want you to notice the pain from the pit. We're going to learn that the cause of this pain is tormenting locusts. This is going to sound real grouchy, but I'm preaching about these things that's going to come on earth, and I've watched some that haven't taken their eyes off their smartphone. Where are we at? That's grouchy, wasn't it? But I'm telling you, God needs to turn our hearts to realities and forget the fantasies of this world. Amen. These are realities. These are not made up things. Look in verse 3. We begin with this description of these tormenting locusts. There came out of the smoke locusts upon earth, and unto them was given power as the scorpions of the earth have power. These are scorpion locusts. They're locust looking, but they have the power of a scorpion. A scorpion has an elongated body, a segmented tail, and on the end of that tail is a venomous claw on the tip. Amen. And I just want to make an incidental note. Whenever you take the cheap veneer off of temptation, when you strip off the veneer from evil and temptation, it's always ugly. I don't want to get chasing rabbits here, but you know, in the world of entertainment, they try to make ugly things like this appealing even to little small children. Walk down the toy aisle and you'll discover this. But every time, if you'd strip the veneer off sin and worldly and evil, it's ugly. Ugly. This is just an artist, a benign attempt to show how ugly that these are. Verse 4, and it was commanded them that they should not hurt the grass of the earth, neither any green thing, neither any tree, but only those men who have not the seal of God in their foreheads. Now listen, remember those first four trumpets. They were to hurt the earth. They were to destroy the environment, the water, and the plants and the trees. But now it's said of these locust tormentors, don't do anything to the environment, hurt men. And they do hurt men, except for one set. Amen. I'm not going to try to unravel all this, how the church can be gone and there's still saints of God here. We can unravel that in a theology class. I'm just telling you, one thing is for certain, they'll never be able to get to, they'll never be able to hurt those with the seal of God on their foreheads. I think it behooves us to ask ourselves the question, do we have that seal? Four trumpets and unimaginable things have happened to the environment, destruction and calamity, but now man himself is the target. Man himself will suffer evil and pain and torment. Even I think people get concerned about the wrong things. We're living in a time, and again, I believe in being a good steward. One of the things I hate most is to see somebody litter. It goes all through me. Amen. But we're all concerned about the environment and what's happening to the environment. We ought to understand it's man himself that is under attack. We ought to be concerned what's happening to humanity and the evil and the wickedness. People talk about the end time, and they're all concerned about the mark of the beast. Let me tell you one way you don't have to be concerned about the mark of the beast. Have the seal of God applied to your life. Oh, hallelujah. If you got the seal of God, amen, no evil thing will touch you. Amen. I'm telling you, if you know God, you live for God, you have His Spirit in your life, He has promised us that no evil power or wicked thing will be able to come against us. But I want you to notice in all of this, God is in control. intro, he tells these locust scorpions when they can be released. He tells them whom and what they can attack. And he tells them how long they can do it. As bad as it gets, there is the unseen providential hand of God, sovereign hand of God, that is in control. I know when he says enough, that's going to be it. But I want us to know, however evil things get, however far the economy falls, whatever happens, we serve a God that has a hold of the reins of time and eternity, man and angel, seen and unseen, and he is in control. That's why we ought to give him full control of our lives. Verse 5, and it was given to them that they should not kill them, but they should be tormented 5 months. And their torment was as the torment of a scorpion when he striketh a man. You know, many people believe because these locust scorpions, they're demonic or they're spiritual, they believe that this isn't physical torment as much as it is spiritual and mental and emotional and psychological torment. Those are worse torments than even the torments of the body. I've read of folks, and you can think and today of stars, and they have everything that ought to give them comfort, money and plushness, and yet they can't sleep at night. Ask Michael Jackson what is the worst torment, the torment of the body or the torment of the mind. And many believe that these literally affect the minds and the spirits and the emotions of men. Evil is rampant, and the only accompanying or the only thing that accompanies the physical evil is a lack of peace and unrest and anxiety and fear and hopelessness. Folks are tormented in an unprecedented way. We could wonder why 5 months. I don't know. One thing about it, five months is the lifespan of a locust, and it's usually how long a locust plague goes on. It's the season of the locust plague. I don't know. Some people may want to figure out some 5 months in the end time, but that's not of concern to me. What of concern to me is God has set the perimeters on it. God has even told these tormentors how long they have. Amen. And he is in control. Verse 6, and in those days shall man seek death and shall not find it, and shall desire to die, and death shall flee from them. Men shall seek death to escape this awful torment, but they are not allowed to die. They are not allowed to commit suicide. I mean, what an awful situation to be in so much torment. You'd like to end it all, but not be allowed. You can throw yourself off a building, so to speak, and you still live. You could try whatever means, and you'd still live and be tormented. I believe if this is anything, this is a taste of eternal hell itself. This is going to go on for 5 months. But the Bible says those who have rejected Christ, those who have not served him, they're going to perish in the lake of fire for eternity. It never ends. Their life goes on. Their existence goes on. But it's an existence of torment. My, I'm glad Jesus came to save the world. We look more in these verses and we see a further description of these locust scorpion tormentors. Verse 7, the shapes of the locusts were like unto horses prepared into battle. Maybe shaped like horses, maybe as large as horses. And on their heads were as it were crowns like gold, and their faces were as the faces of men. I want you to stay with me for just a moment. Amen. I want us to think of this. They're like horses. You know, some men see in even today in the head of an actual scorpion, they see the head of a horse. They have noted this throughout history, and therefore in many languages, the word for scorpion has as its root the word for horse. It's like unto a horse, maybe the size of the horse, crowns of gold. I don't know what those are. It may just be a design about the body. This is a crown for conqueror. It may show me a representation that these conquer. Nothing can stop them. them. They are conquerors. Some have suggested that they're turbans, but I'm not going to go there. Amen. Crowns of gold about their head. And all of that. But I want you to know the most frightening thing about these. Look at that. I want you to notice the most frightening thing about this. It said they had the faces as the faces of men. These are horrible creatures that can hardly be described even with animal grotesque bodies. But when you see their faces, it said they're the faces of men. Now you got to understand, that wasn't saying that they had nostrils and eyes, though they very well probably did. It's not saying they had teeth and earlobes or a human face. When it says they have faces of men, what it is saying is when you look them in the eye, though they had an animal body, you saw intelligence. It's an intelligent being. Amen. The description is these twisted and grotesque animal bodies, but they have an intelligence. Eyes. Why? Faces. Because these are demonic spirits. I think we miss something, and as many prophecy preachers do, when they try to say that this is John's way of describing some of the helicopters that exist today. Amen. That's the way this is described. Don't forget, these didn't come out of a hangar. These didn't come off of Air Force Base. Amen. These came out of the bottomless pit, the very abyss. And when you look in their eyes, you see the intelligence of a being, a demonic spirit unloosed on this world. Verse 8, and they had hair as the hair of a woman. Matt could preach, but I'll go right on. And their teeth are as the teeth of lions. Their bodies are covered in long hair, and their teeth speak of their fierceness, their tearing power like a lion can tear. Verse 9, they had breastplates as it were breastplates of iron, and the sound of their wings was as the sound of chariots of many horses running to battle. Why breastplates? Maybe just a segmentation of their body, but maybe it's saying they are protected. You won't shoot them. You may have conceal and carry. You may pull out your .38 revolver. Amen. But they're protected. You cannot kill them. These are spiritual beings. Amen. And with their tail, they pump venom into men, venom into their bodies. These breastplates upon them, and the sound of their wings was as the sound of chariots and horses coming. It may remind me of time Brother Leiter used to pastor at Sparks, Oklahoma. That's where Anthony Lester's from. I didn't know him at the time. He's out in the country there. I'm quite a bit older than him and didn't know it there at that time, but just a little spot on the road. And my brother and I would often hike down the abandoned railroad tracks and find a trestle over the slough there and catfish. And we were on our way doing that way out in the country one day, and he was a little ahead of me, and he's knelt down like this. And he's 4 years younger than I am. I was about 16 at the time. And he said, "Clifford, come here." He said, "There's an air leak." And I thought, an air leak out here? And for a moment I thought, well, maybe something with the railroad, you know, the old railroad. I didn't know. And I walked up, and sure enough, there was a hole in the ground. And I got down, and it sounded like a, and then it hit me what it was. And I said, "Run." And I was glad I was 4 years older, because I could outrun him. I didn't have to outrun what was in the hole. I just had to outrun him. And they got him. And it was bumblebees. Oh, he got sick. I thought of that. Their wings coming out of that bottomless pit was that little hole. That when I heard that, it was that 1,000 times over, like huge regiments and battalions of horses, cavalry, as their hooves pound the ground. They come out, verse 10, their tails, they have a stinger. They pump venom into men, their bodies, their minds, their souls. Verse 11, they had a king over them, which is the angel of the bottomless pit, whose name in the Hebrew tongue is Abaddon, and in the Greek tongue it's Apollyon. And both of these, Hebrew and Greek, simply mean the destroyer. You know, I'm going to pause. I know it's dark in here, but I want to tell you something. Amen. Jesus realized that is always the intent of evil and sin, is to destroy. That's why one of the greatest passages from the mouth of Christ is when he said, "The thief cometh not, but to steal and to kill and to destroy. But I am come that you might have life and have it more abundantly." I'll tell you, you don't have to wait to the bottomless pit. What's out there in the world will kill you. It'll pump venom in your mind, venom in your heart, venom in your life. You'll turn against God. You'll turn against the church. You'll turn against righteousness. And that venom will destroy you. The sin will bring you down. But it doesn't have to be that way, because we know the giver of life. Oh, I'm glad I just briefly have to talk about Apollyon, but I can frequently talk about Jesus Christ. Verse 12, one woe is past. Wasn't that bad enough? Wasn't that bad enough? One woe is past, and behold, there are two woes more hereafter. And the sixth angel sounded. Should have had Taylor sound that trumpet. And I heard a voice from the four horns of the golden altar, which is before God. This is in heaven. So now I want to talk about the plagues from the pit, or the horse destroyers. Verse 14, the angel of the altar said to the sixth angel which had the trumpet, "Loose the four angels which are bound in the great river Euphrates." Now, I want you to think of even our time. As bad as things are, you've got to understand this. God is restraining evil forces to keep them from coming against humanity. What would it be like if God would not restrain those evil forces? One day, this world is going to find out when God... But notice, if he's restraining these, what does that mean? If he's commanding when they're loosed, what is he saying? I'm in control. He's in control. Hallelujah. God restrains these. Why the Euphrates? Well, you see, the Euphrates has always been the boundary of Israel in ancient times. It was also the boundary of the Western empires, take Rome. And if attack came, it came from beyond the river of the Euphrates. Verse 15, and the four angels were loose, which were prepared for an hour and a day and a month and a year for to slay the third part of men. And the number, a third of the men, 7 billion right now, what is that, 3 billion people. And the number of the army of horsemen was 200,000. If you're doing the math, that's 200 million horsemen. And I heard the number of them. Now, these four angels, they are either the generals that lead these armies, or they are simply the ones who restrained it. We don't know that for sure. All we know is they release these huge armies to come against men. 200 million. It was pointed out a few years ago that China was the only nation in the world that could raise and equip an army of this size. But I want us to keep in mind that these are spiritual forces. These are demonic forces and not natural ones, though they may employ and use as vehicles natural forces. To me, it's more frightening to know they've come out of the bottomless pit than to know they've come from any country of this earth. Can you say amen? Verse 17, and I saw the horses in the vision and them that sat on them having breastplates of fire and jacinth and brimstone, and the heads of the horses were as the heads of lions, and out of their mouths issued fire and smoke and brimstone. These are horse tormentors. They have tri-colored breastplates: fire red, jacinth blue, brimstone yellow, and whatever else these breastplates are, these enemies, they are protected. There is no defense against them. You cannot kill them, annihilate them, or destroy them. They have heads of lions, fierce and frightful. And again, I think if we make these out just to be modern weapons, because fire comes out of their mouth. Some says that's like a tank. Fire comes out of their mouth. To make these modern tanks or half tracks or whatever kind of weaponry is to miss the point. These are demonic. These are released by spiritual forces. Verse 18, and by these three, the fire, the smoke, and the brimstone, by these three was a third part of the men killed, by fire, smoke, brimstone, which issued out of their mouth. Amen. It's what comes out of their mouth that causes death. It'll be that way politically, by the way. It's that way with the destruction of every work of God. The destruction begins in the mouth. But many believe because plague is carried on breath, that their breathing out of the fire is introducing plagues into this world. Amen. That is going to cause death. Amen. If you got the flu, amen, people get uncomfortable when you start breathing on them from 6 inches away. And these are breathing. They're breathing out plagues. Verse 19, for their power is in their mouth and in their tails. For their tails were likened to serpents. Got a serpent head on their tail. They had heads of snakes on their tails with which they do hurt. It's their mouth that kills and their tail that torments. However you put it, these are killers and tormentors. Oh, hallelujah. I can almost hear God one more time saying, I have set before you life and death, but I do not want you to choose death. I want you to choose life. Aren't you glad we have a choice in the matter? Amen. The Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Yes, the world will suffer this, but there are going to be those that say, I choose life. I choose Jesus. I choose eternity with our God. Hallelujah. Last of all in this chapter, I want you to notice the persistence of the unrepentant. Verse 20. We read it as a text, but the rest of the men which were not killed by these plagues and yet repented not of the works of their hands, that they should not worship devils and idols of gold and of silver and brass and stone and of wood, which neither can see nor hear nor walk. Isn't that the fallacy of it all? People serve gods and ideas that have no life to them. All these things are happening. A third of them is died. Yet they repented not of their murders, nor their sorceries, nor their fornication, nor of their thefts. You know what is being pointed out here? The irony. Look at this. They continue to worship that which was killing them. Look at it there. Devils. They continue to worship that which was killing them. It's like the man on the hospital bed in his front room dying of lung cancer and lighting up another cigarette. Men of our time are devoted to the very thing that is killing them. They'll sit down in front of that computer and keep clicking on those sites that's hollowing them out, taking control of their mind, destroying them. They continue in relationships that they know has stole every vestige of spiritual life. Keep giving honor to a world that has done nothing but hurt them and harm them. Is that the true church? I'm a bit of a skeptic. But when 9/11 happened, people talked about a great revival that was going to happen. And I shook my head. Because in all of the gatherings, and not that they shouldn't have had these, I'm not saying that. But the message was comfort, comfort, comfort. And the message was not repent. And if any preacher raised up a voice and said, what we really need to do, America, is repent, the media destroyed him and castigated him and came against him. Right here.
And here we have an ultimate example that things couldn't get any worse. And yet men continue to worship that which was destroying them. That's where America is at. And not just America. Many sit in our churches and continue the lifestyle that is destroying them for time and eternity. Oh, Pastor, give us some hope. I've been preaching hope. This doesn't have to be your future. Oh, you know, it's the last part. They didn't repent of their murders, their sorcerers, their fornication. You say, Pastor, there's no murderers in the church. Jesus said, if you're angry with your brother, murderer. There's no sorcery in the church, for rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. There's certainly no fornication in the church. Let me say the Greek word for fornication, porn. Any relations not sanctioned by God, by the bounds of marriage. You say, why would you mention something like that? You really trying to kill this thing? Because I read an article this week that the new acceptable sin of the evangelical church is fornication. Survey the young people of evangelical churches, and they see nothing wrong with cohabiting before you're married. Worshiping what is destroying them. Hallelujah. Choose life. Doesn't have to be our future. Amen. Music, would you come? I told you this some time back. It was a story of my childhood, and I can actually remember one of the last times I heard this sister tell this story. I was sitting over on this side. There was just two rows of pews. I was sitting over this side about two-thirds back, and she was sitting back about where Sister Paula's at. And she got up to tell the story one more time. And she's old then. And she said, when I was a little girl, a plague of grasshoppers. I didn't even share all that, but you know, I just want to tell you briefly. Locusts over there, some of those invasions of locusts are 460 square miles. That's up to 18 million locusts per square half mile. That's a lot of locusts. They're able to devour over 180 million pounds of vegetation in one day. That's destructive power. That's awful power, isn't it? Did you know there's one right now in the Middle East coming towards the borders of Israel? Anyway, these weren't locusts. These were grasshoppers. And she said, when I was a little girl, there was a plague of locusts coming through the country, destroying every field, every acreage, just devouring it. And she said, my parents were believers, and they began to pray. And she said, we watched as those locusts ate their way up, or those grasshoppers ate their way up to the field on this side of our property. And then they rose in the air, flew over our property to the farm on the other side. She was talking about the power of prayer. But you know why they did that? God drew a line. I want to tell you a line God has drawn. It's called the bloodline. If you are washed in the blood, there is a line over which no demon can pass. Are you glad for that? Are you washed in the blood? Do you have the bloodline? And we've been talking about the pit, but I want to talk about one more pit. It's not the bottomless pit so much. It's the pit that people find themselves in the day and the age that we live in. The pit of sin. The pit of an evil life. The pit of this world. I've got good news. If you're in that kind of a pit, as the psalmist said, he will bring you out of that pit and he will set your feet on a solid rock. He'll bring you out of the pit of muck and mire of sin, set you free. Oh, he's the one that delivers from the pit of sin. One day that pit will be open. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about when he brings out of the pit of sin. Isn't that a wonderful thing when it happens? How many's had that happen to your life? He brought me out of the miry clay. He set my feet on the rock to stay. Oh, let's stand and worship him that he can do that. Don't you love him this morning? Let's love him. Hallelujah. Oh, let's love him this morning. Hallelujah. 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 Come on, let's worship him. Young people, I appreciate your attentiveness this morning. Amen. You're the generation that's going to see many of these things that are preached about. I appreciate that attentiveness. Let's worship him. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. I praise you, Lord. I worship you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Maybe you're here this morning and you would honestly say, I'm not prepared for the things that are coming, but I want to leave here prepared, my heart washed in the blood of Jesus, my assurance in my salvation. Are you here? You're not prepared. I want you to come right now. Don't hesitate. I mean, there's no place for hesitancy and embarrassment when you think of what's coming across this world. Amen. I want you to just come right now and say, I want to be prepared. I want to be ready. Are you here? Would you come right now and say, I'm not prepared. If these things started at a snap of the finger taking place today, I wouldn't be prepared, but I want to leave here prepared. I want to be ready. Are you here? Would you come? Hallelujah. Would you come? Anyone across the building? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now I want to ask you something else. Every believer in this church, amen, when all these things begin to happen and when Jesus come, if you don't want to be a believer in a church that's just barely surviving, but you want to be a part of a church and a believer that's full of the Holy Ghost, amen, has the victory of Jesus, amen, invading the enemy's territory, amen, filled with the direction and the word of God, amen, if you want to be one living in victory and assurance when Jesus come, let me see your hand. I want to be a part of that number that's without spot or wrinkle or blemish or any such thing. I want to be prepared and ready. Hallelujah. I want to invite you, church, fill these altars and to say thank you, Lord, that you've made a way of escape. You'll empower your church. Whatever's ahead, you will enable us. You will give us what we need. Hallelujah. 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 Lord, I praise you. Lord, I worship you. Lord, I give honor to you. Hallelujah. Oh, let's worship him this morning. Let's worship him this morning. Thank you, Jesus. Come on, let's pour out our hearts and thank him that he's made a way of escape. This does not have to be your future. This does not have to be your future. Oh, hallelujah. This does not have to be your future. Hallelujah. He's got a different future plan for his people. He's got a different future plan for his people. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Let's seek him around these altars. Let's seek him around these altars. He's made a way of escape. He's made a way we can be ready. Don't listen to the enemy this morning. Listen to the Savior. Listen to the Savior. Choose life. Choose life. Choose life. Choose life.
We'll all be ready. I pray we'll all be ready.
Oh, choose life. Choose life. Life.
I pray we'll get
hallelujah.
Business straight so we can all meet at the gate. I pray we'll all be ready for his return.
Oh, ready for his return. Hallelujah, hallelujah.